Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Welcome to Burning in Hell.
This is the first person that I've had on Burning in Hell for the third time. Don't want to make your head big. Don't want to make your head too big. But we love her in hell. Violet fucking Benson, a.k.a. Daddy Issues, a.k.a. Almost Adulting Pod.
What's the name of your podcast this month?
It just changed, so I didn't want to disrespect it. Violet, welcome to hell.
Woo!
I've been following Violet like a creep on Instagram for, I don't know, how long have you had your account?
Oh my gosh, I think 7, maybe 8 years now, close to 8.
I'm not
to
trying
eight.
To age myself, but yeah, I've been following you. I'm obsessed with you. If you haven't listened to the last pod we did, you have to, because Violet went to New York, fell in love with a dude that you like harassed during a brunch date or something.
No, a guy decided to have a one night stand with, and then after we had sex, I was like, am I in love? Is this love?
Yeah, we literally talked the whole time about like, is this love? I think I found my person.
No, I don't think I said that. Come on, I'm not that.
You were into it.
I was so into it.
Which, like, I've fallen in love with guys I've never even fucking met before, so there's no judgment here.
No, it's something about the penis goes inside of you, and you're like, is this love? And you're like, oh, okay, I need therapy. This is where, you're this like, is the moment you're like, I need therapy.
I feel so full. Dick is literally equivalent to, like, eating Chipotle for me. You're just like,
yeah, I'm so
I
full.
Feel so full and heavy and warm. And then you're like, no, that was just diarrhea.
Yeah.
What happened? You get back to LA.
Like,
oh, I want the fucking tea. You guys, in hell, I will get you the drama. I will get to the bottom of it for y'all. And today we're getting the tea. You get back to LA. What happened?
So while I was still in New York doing crypto stuff or whatever I was doing.
I'm so sorry about that.
I know. We kept texting here and there, but then we got back to LA and we were going to hang out, and we did. But then I always would do this thing, and then... Oh, okay. I'll just say, because only recently I realized I was still having the same pattern. But I come back to LA and we hang out in LA, and then I do this thing where I act like, what are we doing? We shouldn't be doing this. Or I'm not really looking for anything. You're just someone to have sex with. Wait, never mind. Come over. Wait, we shouldn't be having sex. Let's just work on our friendship. I don't want to get attached. And it's so much flip-floppy, and it's like almost pushing the guy away or showing that you don't care about this person to see like, are you going to chase me? All that. Subconsciously doing that without realizing. And actually, I just listened to an episode that I recorded for my podcast from 2 years ago that I posted on Sundays, because I have 3 episodes a week, and on Sundays it's called I already forgot. Wow, I'm so sorry. I just recently started. Yeah. but it's called Vault Archives.
Yeah,
so it's kind of episodes that never posted.
Vintage.
Or it's vintage. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Retro.
So when I had to edit the episode, because I edit, since I have 3 episodes a week, 2 of the episodes a week, I edit them myself to save money.
Yeah.
Just to be honest.
Hell yeah.
So I edit myself. So then when I was editing it, and I hear myself 2 years ago say the same thing that I'm doing, it was actually...
We are not about growth here. No growth. Zero growth.
Not.
Backwards, actually.
But I'm thinking like I'm growing so much as a person, and then like... to kind of hear myself the way I was speaking from 2 years ago, and to hear that I did that 2 years ago and I'm still doing that at my age, I was just like, oh wow, okay. That was kind of, you know, a slap in the face, but mm-hmm. I think in that moment it kind of helped. I mean, did it help me with this guy? No, because I listened to it 6 months later after it didn't work out with the guy, but. Mm-hmm.
But I also think like the right dude, you can't fuck it up, and that's so corny to say, but also what you're doing is a method of, you can't control love. It's scary. And I think so many things in your life, you're so in control. Look at your business. You are in control of like all your podcasting. Even you edit your stuff. You post all your social media. You can't even have like too many people helping you because you know you do it best.
Yeah.
And then love comes in and it makes no sense logically. You can't just like work harder at it and be better at it. It makes no fucking sense. It's a gut feeling. And then you try to be like, okay, what's a playbook? What's a playbook? Should we do this? Should we be friends? Should I let him in here? You try to control it. when you can't.
Yeah. And he was kind of putting up with it. And then I kind of freaked out and I was just like, I can't do this. Like,
did you end it with him?
So then I ended with him and I go, and the way I ended with him, I don't remember because it happened already a minute ago. It yeah. happened November of mm-hmm. last year. Mm-hmm. But then I was just like, you know, I'm this is too much. This is not what I'm looking for. It doesn't make me feel good to kind of start getting in my head. You don't make me feel good, which it's not how I meant it. But I said that. And then I was just like, let's just be done with it. Well, and then I try to be romantic because I'm loser. And I go, we'll always have New York.
Pathetic. You're like, I will masturbate to New York all the time.
Yeah. I said that. He does not respond to it. And then like, I'm like, okay, whatever, you know, cool. And then a day or two later, I'm in Vegas. When I talk about it with my friend goes, wait, you said you don't make me feel good? That's so mean. Like that's not a nice thing to hear. I'm like, oh my God, I didn't think about that. So then when I got home, I texted him and I apologized. I sent him a voice note for like 2 minutes. And then he's like, hey, I'm with my friends right now. I just saw the voice and I can't listen to it. Are you okay? Is everything okay? And I'm thinking like, yeah, I just like wanted to tell you that you're great. So it's my voice note now is like, I made a mistake. Like I shouldn't have said that. Like, I didn't mean you don't make me feel good. You do make me feel good. Like being in my head, I think you're so, and then now I'm go the other way around. I'm like, I think you're so great. I think you're so amazing. Like, I don't know the guy.
Yeah.
And it's like the idea of him now.
Yeah.
So it's literally, I created I gave myself the anxiety. He didn't mm-hmm. do anything. He was mm-hmm. just there. And I'm like the ups and downs with myself. Mm-hmm. I created drama with myself. I'm like, you're amazing. You're this, you're this, you're this. And he goes, thank you so much, blah, blah, blah. And then we're texting each other and he's like, I guess, and all that. And then I say, okay, can we start over as friends? Even though a second ago I was trying to get back to like the dating. And then I say the friends and he goes, of course, clean slate. And I'm like, perfect. I kid you not, he goes to me after that.
Well, yeah, because you don't want to be, he doesn't want to be your friend.
Yeah.
You, like you're someone he's attracted to. That's actually torture to be just... be like, okay, let's hang out and not fuck. That's weird.
Yeah, no, 100%. But like, I think it was a good lesson for me because the fact I actually kind of loved it, that move, because he was just like, yeah, of course, clean slate. And then never heard from the guy again.
It sounds, this is kind of classic.
We're friends now, by the way. Yeah. But that's like months later.
It sounds like, I hate to say self-sabotage, but it sounds like whatever you're scared of, like for example, you were scared that it wouldn't work out. So you like made it happen to be like, oh, at least I'm in control of it. Like your biggest fear, you're like, I want my biggest fear to happen so that I'm like, I'm ahead of it.
I knew it wasn't going to work out. You see, I knew it like that. And it's like, but I made it not work out. Possible
you knew it wasn't going to work out. So you just kind of fucked it up and you were right. Like your gut could have been right with this.
My gut doesn't really tell me much anymore, except like I have IBS or something.
You're like, yeah, I always say, is it butterflies or IBS?
Yeah.
And it's a thin line.
But it was a good, honestly, it was so a good lesson. So you're
not like, oh, like he got away and I fucked it up. You don't feel like that.
Of course I felt that when it happened, but mm-hmm. I feel like that every time it doesn't work out, suddenly I just, the minute someone doesn't want me or wouldn't want me, I want to chase them because it's just a habit. Because that, you know.
So you must have sensed before that he was, you were kind of losing him and that's why.
No.
You were,
oh. He was like so into me. I think it was just the feeling of enjoying someone, you know, being so into me and me playing with their feelings. Mm. I think maybe it's because, you know, because we were talking my podcast, which by the way, we recorded another episode together. We're doing a pod swap.
Yes. I just let her in on all the tea about me and Dez on Almost Adulting.
It was actually really cute. I had to throw up after the episode.
I was grossed out by it. I was gross. I like, yeah, I like making fun of him.
And he's like, ew. But it's adorable. It's honestly, it's endearing. It's really cute. I love it.
When's I become that bitch? But that's why I like living vicariously through you. And
I'm like, you're single. No, I love that for you. No, no one loves you. Aw, no, that's so
being
cute.
Single is so fun because you could just like bloat all the time.
No, I don't want to. I think I continue learning about myself. But I think it's just playing games doesn't get as fun when you get older.
No.
Because like you're straight up not having fun. You act like it's fun, but then you're like, I'm straight up not having fun anymore. Yeah. You're just alone. Like it's not fun. It's nice to open up to someone.
But I also feel like with the right person, hopefully, they will not trigger you to do those kind of like anxiety spirals.
I think I knew from the beginning he couldn't be my person just because our lives are so different.
Yes.
And, but it's also, last year I literally had to take a break from podcasting because last year my whole podcast was about dating and relationships only. So I had to read. So I was reading so many, because I wanted to understand what I'm talking about. So I was reading so many books about love, relationship, and dating to the point that I was like a computer or a robot every time I was dating someone. So even with him, within 10 minutes of talking to him, I knew, I understood just based on his actions, words, his mommy issues, his daddy issues, what's his love language and all these things. And I can tell right away, okay, this is a little off. Like, this is going to take a while then to heal this part of him. And so then, of course, right away, I'm like, okay, am I able to help him heal from this part? Is he going to, and it's too much. And it's a point that it makes, it made love not fun. Like, I don't want to love anyone.
Yeah.
And I already see all the issues, what's wrong with this person, that it makes me not want to date anyone.
But I guess it's also finding someone who you can see those issues and be like, oh, but they're compatible to my issues.
No, not as a robot, because you don't want to be everyone's therapist. And no. It made it not fun to the point that not only did I take it, I stopped dating because I was sick of it, mm-hmm. to the point that I had to stop my podcast because it was just, it's always like, you know, when you see all the dating coaches, they're usually single.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, why yeah. is that?
Because it's too much. Like, yes. you don't know how to be a real person, actually go through it with your person.
Because also if you're seeing all the imperfections and all the red flags, it is impossible to function, because every relationship has red flags. It's more just like a feeling. And I also feel like with women, we're so much, like with careers, we like to be overqualified for things, especially if you're a perfectionist. So it's like, you'll find a guy who you're like, oh, I can fix him, or like I'm sure that I'm like good enough for this guy, and then you get bored, and then you dissect them, and then you become like a parent where you're like, did you do research on your next career? Like, did you know, or like,
yeah.
did you fold your clothes? And like, that's not sexy. You don't want to be that person.
Yeah.
So I mean, I want you to like.
Well, now with my, I changed the name for my podcast, and mm-hmm. I have 3 episodes a week, and they're all 3 are different, but every month, and then I created this thing where every month the structure is different, so every month I focus on a specific thing. Yes, it happens that this month is about love and relationships, mm-hmm. fuck me, but it's fine, mm-hmm. because the other months are about other things. So I feel like that is kind of helping me not overthink everything. When I'm dating someone, I'm like, okay, I know exactly when you got your heart broken, this makes sense.
Also, like, not forgetting that like life needs to be fun.
Exactly.
And like, my thing is, lately I even do this in my career, I'm like, the second things aren't fun for me, like, life's too short. Obviously there's things that become more fun when you get past some tough things, like working hard and stuff to make something happen, but like, if it's not fun in the beginning, fuck that shit. Same with friendships. Why would you continue a friendship if in the beginning you didn't have fun with them?
So true. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you continue being friends with someone that it's, because we talk so much about relationships and dating, and we don't realize that no one actually, there's no songs about friendship breakups. There's mm-hmm. no movie. I mean, there's some movies about friendship breakups, but like, sometimes almost when you're heartbroken over a friendship breakup, and then you feel like, is this normal? Because no one really talks about it. You don't set boundaries with your friends. And that's why
painful.
You have the argument sometimes. Because maybe our friendship, I think we just, you know, get drunk together and have fun. You think our friendship is where you tell me about your life every single second.
Yeah, friendship is literally being like, I know everything about you, and I don't want to be with you anymore. And you're like, ah.
Yeah. And then you realize, like, we never have fun. Mm-hmm. Okay, never mind. We never
have
fun.
You don't even have pressure to be like exclusive, and they still don't want to hang out with you. Like, that shit hurts.
Yeah.
But I was talking about when I went on your podcast just now, how like the people who you surround yourself with really creates, like, we're living a movie. You're the main character. The characters around are very important. It's like starting a band. You can't just have a lead singer. And the people around you really fucking like set the stage for what your life is.
Exactly. And it's kind of how a lot of people say, surround yourself with people that inspire you, people mm-hmm. that want you to be better. And then there's always the people who want to be the devil's advocate. And they're like, so that makes you look like a terrible person or a user, because you only want to be with people who are richer or better, blah blah. It's like, first of all, I know why you're getting so defensive, because you think you're not as good as your friends. That's something you should work on, your inner self. That's the truth. Well, no, I'm sorry, but like attracts like. If you are, we just talked about, if you're constantly negative and unlucky in life, that energy will go in your friend's energy. So mm-hmm. sorry if we only have one life, and if I'm a very positive person, I want to surround myself with other fun, positive people, and other hardworking people.
We're not always talking about like salary or like relationships or fashion. There's like all types of ways that like you can look up to a friend.
Exactly.
I have a friend who's just literally a ball of sunshine. Her name is Haley. People know her, and we're so opposite because I'm always like,
is she a Pisces?
She's a Cancer.
Oh.
Oopsie whoopsie. No, but she's like just like always like she'll stop and be like, look how beautiful that flower is. And I'm like, oh, I love having this woman around me because her perspective is so beautiful. I also think this, I don't mean to sound creepy with this, but you talked about your inner child and how like when you feel more connected with that inner child, it's like you reparented yourself to like be that authentic self before society yelled at you and told you all these fucked up things. Where like when you're in a relationship, I actually find that like I feel like my inner child, like I become playful, I become silly.
Me too.
And your inner child is so like as a kid you don't feel judged, like you're just like wee, you're like,
yeah.
And that's how you should feel when you're with the right person.
Exactly. I agree. When you're just childlike.
And what does a child do? They play, they have fun. That's why I always say like relationships should not be a fucking job.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to put work into it, but you want to. It's like a job you love, if that makes sense. It's something you put effort in that you want to make work. Who are you dating now? What are we doing?
So what?
Olivia just like touched your nips when I asked you that.
Oh, sorry. They're just there. I don't know. So right now I'm not dating anyone, but I think I have gotten better though. Although this month, the month of June when we're recording this month has been insanely packed and work consuming for me, so it has been really hard.
You don't
hard.
Need to make excuses, bitch. You're not like it's not like a failure to be like I'm not dating. It has nothing to do with success or anything.
I know. I mean you're an athlete, so you can relate. I'm not an athlete. Unless you consider a quarter of playing softball in high school an athlete.
Absolutely. Were you on the bench or did you have a position?
I was a shortstop.
Oh, I didn't know I was speaking to a celebrity athlete.
And then every Friday we had death day. That's where you do all the workouts, the crazy workouts, and you're running all that. Every Friday I had a doctor's note why I can't work out because I'm not feeling well.
And she's street smart. Like
the coach was like, are you fucking kidding me?
And you're like, what are you gonna do? It's a doctor, doctorate, PhD.
And then I was like, you know what? This is not for me.
Also, actually, maybe don't call it death day. Maybe I'd count if it wasn't literally called death day. Sorry, I don't want to fucking die.
But it was just when I first came to America in ninth grade and I joined softball team. And then I kid you not, the shoes that we had, because I was still learning how to pronounce a lot of my English words. And I looked at one of the, and I think for half of the semester or whatever, what are they called in high school? Quarter, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
I was calling the shoes a different name and no one corrected me until one day I looked at the girl and I said, oh my God, why are shoes called clits? And they go, no, it's cleats. And I go, what? She goes, it's cleats. And I go, I've been saying clits for 6 months now. Why did no one tell me? They're like, I don't know. We just felt bad. We don't want to correct you. And I was like,
that is so fucking funny. Did you know what a clit was?
Yes. And I was mortified every time I would like put on my shoes. I did not know like what name. Well, the funniest thing, when I went to buy the shoes, the softball shoes, I had to go to Dick's. And I'm just like, what is America?
That is so fucking
I have to buy my clits at Dick's. Like,
it's like I joined the softball team and like they talk about clits all the time.
Like, what is America? I'm so uncomfortable.
Oh my God,
the fact that they never corrected me is even more hilarious.
They probably call you like click girl behind your back, but you know what, we love that
girl power.
Yeah, like what is it,
clit power?
Big clit energy.
Yeah, big clit energy. I've said, actually, I last month I had an episode on a Tuesday, and my Tuesday episodes, and it was about three ways to tell if a guy has a small penis. And I said, you guys, some people sexually preference, they like bigger penises. For example, I just have a really white set vagina and that's why I need a bigger dick. Sorry. So then I'm like, big white set vagina energy. Vagina. And then
I have a white set vagina, heavy flow. Do you have a heavy flow?
No, I'm anemic. So barely have any blood.
Wait, so do you need a big dick?
I enjoy. I like my favorite part about sex. I don't know. It's just like I won't. When we're about to start having sex, I won't get on top or anything like that because it's my favorite part is when I lay on my back and he first puts it in me and it feels like a little bit of like a struggle because I'm like, oh my God, I'm so small.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, sorry, is my pussy too
tight? And then it just gapes open for the rest
like
of it.
Like in 2 seconds, yeah. Swallows the whole thing up.
It's so funny because my husband, Jez, was like complaining that his ears were clogged. And I was like, why are your ears always clogged? And he was like, I have a small ear canal. I have a narrow ear canal. And I was like, who the fuck told you that? And he's like a doctor. And I was like, that's crazy because I have a really small pussy canal. But we don't, you don't like really know.
No, it is. It's a scientific thing. It's a real thing where some women, it's so you know how sometimes you have sex with someone, you're like, doesn't matter what size their penis is, you're just like, oh my God, your penis fits perfectly into my vagina, like this feels like molded for me. It's true because some women have narrow canals, some women have thicker canals, some women have like longer.
So for me
I have a narrow canal, so that's why I like something that's big, so then it can like, you know, makes the it engorge inside of you, but I don't need it to be long. Like I don't like long penises because I think my stomach area is like shorter, so then it just like hitting my cervix.
And guys, this is from doing a lot of research.
No, actually all I do is do research. It's like I don't actually go out there and do anything. I'm just like, every time because of reading so many books, I can be even out with friends, I'll be like, well, research found that, and they're like, can you just have a normal human conversation?
You're better than me though, because I'm like, TikTok said, and they're like, that doesn't, that's like, I guess you read a book. I'm like, one 14 year old on TikTok solve the world's problems, and I'm gonna tell you how.
I learn a lot on TikTok.
I do learn so much on TikTok. It's like reading and watching TV at the same time.
I learned how to do a lot of things that I didn't know you can do, like how to put your trash can, how to like bedazzle everything. I learned about new products that I should not buy.
Are you diagnosed with anything on TikTok?
Well, technically on TikTok, I'll be diagnosed with every single disease to ever exist. It's like TikTok now, there's a trend of autism on TikTok. Yeah. Now it's a cool thing. Before, back then, I remember when there was a whole controversy because parents sometimes wanted to know ahead of time if their child had autism.
Because it means like you're neurodivergent. Your brain works in a different way.
Yeah, so then they have a chance to abort the baby. It was like a whole controversy with it for parents to want to know ahead of time.
Yeah.
Now it's so, and then anyone that's autistic, if you have any relatives, anyone like that, it's on the spectrum. There's a lot of different ways to be autistic. But now on TikTok, before it wasn't a problem, whatever, and now on TikTok it's a cool thing, and there's all these really hot pretty girls, and I'm like, do you sometimes have trouble making eye contact with people when they're speaking to you? Then you may be autistic. No, you have social anxiety. What, like, what are you talking about?
No, like, that's literally with ADHD. They're like, do you ever like have trouble reading a full page without getting distracted? The whole world. Also, we're all ADD right now because of all the stimulation.
Do you sleep? You may be depressed. And you're like, holy shit, I'm depressed.
You're like, are you stressed? That's cancer. And like, literally, you kind of believe it. But then you're also, they're trying to get you to buy stuff. Like, there's all these ADD med things that are like, do you have trouble sleeping? Does your brain race all the time? Do you get stressed a lot? And you're like, that's literally called being a human, existing.
It's not even the selling thing. It's when some people start to make profit off of things that a lot of people struggle with, and then you just see their so. But I guess eventually, you know, the truth always comes out. But for people who try to profit off of things that are serious, and suddenly everyone's self-diagnosing themselves, and like, well, yeah, I recently found out that I'm autistic. There's a few influencers that I actually had to unfollow because of it, because it's upsetting. Because you're like, you're taking someone else's struggles that they have to struggle for the rest of their life, and you're just using it as a trend, and it's not nice. Like that bothers me.
Well, yeah, like when people, even like some of my friends, like. Not my friends, but I saw people like starting to get COVID, and they would like vlog their COVID day. And I was like, dude, like the people are dying. Like it's really fucking bad out here. And you're literally like, swipe up to see my full COVID day. And you're like, oh my God.
Like at what point are you like, maybe I shouldn't do this?
No, for sure. I also have a, obviously my podcast is about mental health, and like a lot of the little devils have their like struggle with me. We struggle together with mental health stuff. And I feel like so many people profit off of people who are lost, you know, aww, where like it's when people are down that they will like buy those courses that'll like help you solve life, or, you know, people who are poor that are like buy these entrepreneur classes to make millions of dollars. Like
that breaks my heart when I see that.
They find people who are lost and you're vulnerable and you're scared and you're more likely to do something that's like not logical.
Yeah, or like that's exactly what sucks too. Stop bragging that you fucked me. I was just self-sabotaging myself. That was self-harm. That was my personal self-harm. Nothing cool about you. That dick was average. Self-harm. And I've gone through that. I've worked on myself, and I will never put your penis in my mouth again.
We had sex before 2021. No, we didn't.
No, we didn't.
No, we didn't. Absolutely no, we didn't. Not. I don't. If yeah, if
no, we didn't.
We didn't.
Period. So
my vagina is closed up since then.
I've She's healed. Done. I've grown since. I'm a virgin.
Oh hell yeah! I do think too. There's a thin line between like wellness on TikTok versus like it's fake. Like no one wakes up, has a hot lemon water, does yoga, like you. Oh, you didn't scroll your phone. You didn't scroll your phone. It's 2 p.m. You haven't scrolled your phone mindlessly and got depressed. I mean, maybe that's just me, but like they put these like then you people aren't comparing themselves to how hot people are. It's like people are now comparing themselves to how like perfect your day is.
Yeah.
And that's toxic as shit, because like days are chaotic. Every day for me is a fucking hurricane and I'm trying to survive it.
I feel bad admitting this, but like some of my friends, like my hot model friends, they'll talk about I feel so bad for saying this. Kill me. Maybe remove this, but they'll talk about, you know, like I wake up, I do my daily lemon thing, like this is what I like to eat, and I'm just like, please, I cannot even spend a full day with you because I'm starving, because we literally don't eat anything, you know. Like being in LA going out with all my hot model friends,
yeah,
I've got used to barely eating when I go out, but then drinks, I got used to only drinking tequila on the rocks because they won't drink anything that has sugar in it. So it's just straight up tequila on the rocks.
Do
so
they
now,
complain about being hungry ever? That's just like, it's just who they are now. Like hunger is just their existence.
Well, I you know, they're healthy.
No, I just because I was just talking to a girl in LA that I thought she modeled or she used to model. And I was like, how's modeling going? And she was like, honestly, I just felt like a clothing rack who was hungry. And I was like, oh my God, that's how I feel. But that's also, I happen to have a fast metabolism. I like eating a lot. And I don't mean like I lose weight. I just mean like when I get hungry, I get fucking hungry. Like I'm dramatic about
yeah.
it. I'm not like, does anyone have a chip? Like I'm like, I need a cheeseburger. And I can't function. I just think about food.
But I will admit that recently when I started learning how to cook, I've noticed that A, I like my cooked food better than when I order food. Because I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because I don't put it in the fridge. Like when I just offered you warm sushi.
She just offered me warm sushi, which was
one day old.
Talk about sabotage. Talk about, and then she was trying to be like, you try it first. I'm like, no. Oh, I see what's happening here.
Okay. I feel like when you reach a certain age and point in your life, at a certain age, when you hit 30, people used to be like, oh my God, don't eat that. That's going to give you diarrhea. Please. I would love to have diarrhea. I will eat that.
You're backed up.
I'm backed up. I woke up today constipated. I would love to eat. Oh, I forgot. The first time I came to America, I was telling her this. The first time I came to America, especially California, I heard everyone always talking about sushi. Sushi was not a big thing yet in Israel. Now it is in Tel Aviv because that's where I grew up, in Haifa. But anyway, so I was just like, oh, I want to be like all these cool Americans. I'm going to try sushi. I was at a gas station. What is wrong with my English today? My mouth. I was at a gas station and I'm like, okay, this is where I would buy this. I didn't know there's a difference. So I bought sushi at a gas station and I tried that. Diarrhea for 2 days straight.
Honestly, jelly.
I was like throwing up in every single hole that I had in my body.
Who needs a colonoscopy?
Just when you buy could just have sushi at a gas
Dude,
station.
Some of my friends will like be eating so healthy and then be like, why am I so backed up? It's because they're tight. Like they're stressed. They're eating perfectly. They're working perfectly. I'm like, just go to Taco Bell. And you will be freed of all your issues.
No, but stress really, that's the crazy thing. Like, you can also go on your stupid little walks to get a stupid little sun. And but if you're stressed, like I went recently to a chiropractor. No, to acupuncture. Mm-hmm.
Acupuncture.
Fuck. Sorry.
Acupuncture. Acupuncture.
Acupuncture.
That's when you're famous. You say acupuncture.
You know what it is? It's fine. I'm over it.
We get it.
I don't need. There's going to be certain words I can't pronounce. It is what it is. I'm over it.
Language means I knew what you were talking about. It doesn't matter how you say it.
So I went to that because I just recently got off birth control, and there's a few unlucky people who, when they get off birth control, they gain weight from getting off of birth control.
When you got on it, did you lose weight?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So I got off of it, and now it's been 2 months off of it. And the first month I gained 10 pounds in a month. And then of course I get it, the whole body positivity, but this is not for other people. This is for me and how I feel about myself. The truth is I don't feel that great when I'm gaining.
It's also like you were out of your equilibrium that you normally are. And it's stressful because it's such an out of control thing. You exactly. didn't change your eating habits.
I gained 10 pounds. I got acne everywhere, including on my chest, on my back, because that's what I used to have, acne, when I was younger. So now I'm like in my 30s, suddenly getting acne in random places. And then my emotions like are all over the place. Yeah. I'm literally feeling like a teenage boy again without the sex. So it's like really not fun at all. Still masturbating a lot, just like a teenage boy, but no actual sex. But like,
that's so fucked up because men don't have to deal with this. I mean, maybe they should. Maybe men should take birth control. But do you ever research how people say you're attracted to different guys when you're on and off birth control?
Okay, yeah, I researched that.
Is it bullshit?
It's
just like your hormones are different, they say.
I mean, right now I'm attracted to British men. Is because I got off of birth control?
Yep. Yep, that's what happens. That's what happens when you get off low progesterone. You're just like, I need some bloody sex.
Yeah, suddenly you're like, yes.
You get off birth control and you start having a British accent.
Hello, governor. Yeah, but it's just, so then I even tried to diet a bit, and like, that's what was the most frustrating thing. Like, I tried a keto diet, all that, and I'm not losing the weight. So then it's frustrating. I'm like eating food. I'm like so used to eating fattening food.
Yeah.
But I get it. It is good for you to eat healthier food because it does change how you feel during the day. Like if you eat really heavy in the morning, it does make you more sluggish.
Yes.
Sure. Whatever.
Yeah. I mean, life is short, but yeah.
I agree.
I love a 11 a.m. nap after a big breakfast? Absolutely.
I'm anemic, so I literally will fall asleep after I eat.
How do you know you're anemic?
The doctor told me.
I feel like I might be anemic.
A lot of women are.
What are the signs?
When we finish recording, I'm going to show you a bruise that I have on my thigh, like the side of my leg. It's like huge. Anemic is basically like you just tap me and I'm going to get bruised up, and you can get dizzy easily, or you have to have a nap after you eat because your blood level, I forgot what that is. Yeah. And you just need more iron in your system.
Wait, so you sound so dainty. You're like, if you even touch me, I'm like,
oh my God, me and my vagina are so tiny. We're so...
No, I'm definitely not anemic because I literally could fall down the stairs and be fine.
If you don't call this episode "wide set vagina," I will never speak to you again.
For a second, I thought,
what?
I didn't know what you're saying. No, I will. Now I can't stop thinking about the gaping hole in between your legs.
Yes. No.
Violet did show me your tits like the first time I met her, and do you know? Annie Letterman, she's a comic, showed me her vagina yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because we were talking about, like, labia being uneven a lot of the time, and she was like, yeah, look at mine. And then I felt weird. I was like, does that mean I have to show her mine? Because I don't really...
Yeah.
I, like, didn't. I just was like, I just wasn't... We were in, like, a public lobby. Oh. I just... She's more fun than me, I guess. I was like, I don't really... I'm wearing high-waisted jeans. This is, like, really logistically hard.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
One time I had a surgeon on my show, on my podcast, Dr. Nazarian, and she specializes in vagina surgery to a point she'd done of half of my friends.
Like labiaplasties?
Yeah. So when she came on my podcast, I took 50 pictures of my vagina. So I'm like, okay, here, look, I took pictures. Yeah.
And she's then like, this is the most wide set thing I've ever seen.
No, but I just keep swiping and swiping and swiping. She's like, no, yeah, no, it looks good. I was like,
wait.
She's what, like, every angle. I was like,
what do you mean half of your friends have gotten labiaplasties?
Dude, it's crazy.
Because they want it to look like there's no labia?
Yeah.
When did this become a trend? Because I feel like my New York City girlies, either they're not telling me or I didn't know. Is it just known if you have labia, you should cut it off in LA?
No, but like there's so many girls that have it done. It's kind of wild.
How do you find out? They tell you?
For me, they normally tell me.
Hi, my name's Sarah. And this is my cut off labia. I keep it in a little mason jar with me for good luck.
I mean, one of my friends had a baby and then, but you know, I'll be honest, it does sound intriguing, but then at what point do you kind of have to learn how to love yourself and not take it that far where you're like even fixing that area because you won't feel comfortable? Because, you know,
and also fixing is socially constructed. Who said, like, I know guys who like the more the merrier, like they want a vagina that's like looks like a big flower that's welcoming you in.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like a lot of it's really from porn. I feel like a lot of
it's so weird. It's, I think for women in general, it's so hard to learn how to love your vagina because you sometimes don't know. Or I mean, because I remember growing up, I was changing in the locker room with these girls who I was friends with, or maybe it was in a hotel, whatever. And they all had the same vaginas, and all their vaginas were like as Barbie as it gets. And it was kind of the first time I looked at their vaginas. I was like, oh, in my brain, I'm like, wait, that doesn't look like my vagina. And I was really confused. Yeah, because
no one sees it. So you're like, oh my God, do I have
it? Literally looked like they had no labia.
Yeah,
doesn't exist. There's nothing there. Mine shows a little. Like when I've described my labia, my vagina before, I said basically the way my labia, I used to call it clit. I found out it's not your clit. So the way my labia,
you're like my cleat,
my cleat. The way my cleat works. Can you touch? Can you play with my cleat? Though I was like, this is how I would describe my vagina. I was like, I think I actually texted this guy one time to describe my vagina. Now that I think, I don't know why.
Were
I did
you like
that.
Trying to sex but got really scientific? You're like, my labia majora.
No, I was being playful. I'm like, the way my vagina looks is basically my labia is really excited to party with her friends. And then she ends up showing up to the party by herself and she's really nervous. She has something. She has anxiety. So she opens the door and she peeks her head in just a little bit, a little bit. She just peeks her head in a little bit just to see who's there. And if she wants to hang out with them. The way she peeks her head a little bit, that's my vagina. She wants to be
one of my labias. She's lazy. She's hanging. She's chilling. The other one, a little uptight. I'm sorry, not sure, a little shy. The other one chilling, high as a kite, rolling, flapping around in the wind, you know?
Are you kidding me? I'm just thinking, like, that's another thing I have to think about and worry about, that your labia is uneven. I didn't even realize that was a thing.
Here we go.
I guess sometimes.
Do you know, yesterday to my friend, we were like joking about labia. I clearly talk, and I just go like this. And she's like, yep.
Well, actually, sometimes when I get out of the shower, it like comes out more. And then you're right, if I look at it, but then, oh my God, one time when I was dating one of my exes, I thought you had to have the Barbie vagina. So I didn't even like it peeking even a little. So right before we're about to have sex, I would tuck my labia in. And then I kid you not, one day he looked at me and he goes, babe, you don't have to keep tucking your clit in. And I was like,
in the hole? You would like tuck it?
You just swipe. I just swipe and then it goes in.
My God, you were labia tucking.
I was a labia tucker.
But did you have a guy say, babe, I like it?
No, he said, babe, you don't have to keep tucking your clitoris in or whatever. And I was just like, what are you talking about? And I was like, what? No, I don't. And he goes, I know you do. And I was like, no, I don't.
But like, think about even circumcision. Like, that is a kind of social construction too. That like guys, you're cutting off a piece of the... it was like a religious thing that they thought that guys would masturbate more if...
No, that's you had, not why.
Why is it?
How do you... You're like,
It was... I've had, like, a lot of conversations about it, but basically, like...
It is a religion thing. Yeah. Muslims and Jews cut
it. Yes.
And also, now it's become more acceptable in Western culture to cut it.
In the U.S.
It has grown over the years where now less people are circumcising. People really... I was even thinking, I don't think I want to circumcise my future son, but then my religion does... my race, for me being Jewish is race, yeah. But it's because in the old days people used to circumcise because people were not as clean as they are now.
Yeah.
So you would get a lot of like yeast infections and mm-hmm. STDs and all these things faster because they weren't clean. Now people, that's why when there's still that stigma around men who are not circumcised, girls are like, oh, I don't know if I can do that. Ew, mm-hmm. blah, blah. It's like, no, men shower now. I think, I would hope.
They have accessible water. I mean, sometimes in LA, it gets, you know, you're not sure when the next water will be.
But like, they clean there. It's the same thing. Yeah, like yeah. the same thing with your little flaps. You have to move
fiance,
it around, clean
I mean,
it.
My fiance, my husband's uncircumcised.
Shut up. Yeah, Irish.
He's Irish. Well, like, yeah, he was born in England, actually. Oof. And they just, the thing is, they have more nerves. So like, blowjobs, they enjoy more.
I think
it's hot. It's hot. And also, like, I've had no issue in terms of like it being dirtier or whatever than any other normal dick, and like it's true, they just have to like clean it. You have to put a little effort
and it's self-lubricated when you give head. Your mouth doesn't have to be watery anymore. You're
also,
just like,
yeah, with hand jobs you don't have to lubricate, so it just goes up and down.
Yeah.
Oh my god, you guys, the tea. So the first time
penises.
I hooked up with an uncircumcised guy, I was in college, and I freaked out and I just go, what do I do? And he was like super chill and he was just like, treat it the same, which is not, you could do more shit with it, but like I just remember being scared. But again, I just want to say it's social construction that like vagina should look a type of way. I know one woman, I was watching a reality show and she's like, I cut my vagina because the labia made it uncomfortable to walk. And I'm like, really?
No, that's the thing. That's a real thing. Like the surgeon, when she specializes with vaginoplasty,
yeah.
It's also now is becoming a trend. Like everything becomes a trend. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, me being born with no enamel on my teeth, getting bullied for my whole life, needing to have veneers. Now every Instagrammer person has veneers, and you're kind of like,
did you really need that?
It's insane to me when I have friends who get veneers and I'm like, you ruined perfectly good teeth. And they're like, no, I'm just like you. I'm like, no, I'm like, I would not go through all this pain that I've gone through.
Because they shave down their regular teeth.
Sometimes a little bit from the sides. And then sometimes a full, like sometimes they turn into a knob, depending on your type of tooth.
Yeah, because like then you could, what if one day you're like, I don't like my veneers anymore?
Yeah, I have no choice. I got stuck with veneers because I was born with no enamel. I've had yellow teeth and they were broken and I needed something to protect them. Because mm-hmm. no enamel means I have like 13 root canals.
Yeah, there's no protection.
Like if there's any sugary, when I used to get, I've had cavity in every single tooth. I used to go to the dentist once a week and my mom, I didn't know yet that it was not normal. So my mom would like teach me these Russian songs. We would be walking to the dentist and it was once a week to the dentist because that's how often I would get a cavity.
That is traumatizing.
But I didn't know yet. So I'm thinking it's normal. I'm just spending time with my mother and then I just have to go to the dentist. Mm-hmm. And it became a habit. And then I remember in fifth grade, I was going up the stairs and I was going up the stairs and we in our school, it was up to, I think, 7th or 8th grade. And like 7th graders, 8th graders, I guess I was always smiling a lot. I was a very happy kid.
Aww.
And I was like really smiling going up the stairs and these kids saw me and they like pulled me to the corner and they circled around me and they're just like, oh, yalda, ma koreitach, which means like, girl, what is that? Like, why do you look at that? Oh my God, do you smoke? Damn, how are you 5 years old and you're already smoking? Oh my God, she smokes cigarettes. Like, why are your teeth so yellow? Ew, why does it look like that? And I could not understand what they were talking about, obviously. And then I was crying. I called my mother and asked her to pick me up. And that was the first time where I looked in the mirror and I suddenly looked at my mom. Then I afterwards my sister came home. I looked at my sister and that's when I noticed like, wait, their teeth don't look like mine.
Yeah.
And
because you just saw you for you. You're like, this is me.
And I told my mom, I don't want to go back to school unless like I do something about this teeth. So at 5 years old, we started going through veneers, capsules, bondings. It's all these different things through insurance because it's half insurance covers half and the other half my parents would pay, and it was all these ways to kind of put some whitening over my teeth in order to not get bullied. But after that, I stopped smiling. I wouldn't talk to boys.
Oh my God.
That's why I didn't have my first kiss until I was like 17 or 18. I tried meth before I had my first kiss.
You tried meth before?
Yeah, it's another story. On accident. Tried meth on accident.
It was on accident.
And by the way, I've never smoked a cigarette in my life. because of all the bullying, yeah, that people used to tell and make fun of me that I smoke cigarettes. Holy fuck.
I mean, our life really, like our first 7 years, things affect us so much. But that's heartbreaking to hear too, because like your teeth are directly correlated with your self-esteem. You know how you have...
It's on my face.
I have nightmares sometimes that my teeth are broken. Do you ever have that? And you can't, yes, smile. And apparently it directly affects you being like, oh, you don't like how people see you.
Oh my God.
That's like the correlation. Really? So you literally were living where like you felt like you couldn't express yourself or people would be grossed out by you.
Well, I stopped smiling. And then I remember even when I moved to the US and I was just met my first American friend, we're hanging out with two guys. And then a boy made me laugh and I accidentally actually smiled or laughed. And I have a dimple. Mm-hmm. And he goes, oh, I really like it when you smile. Even I smile. And I looked at him and I was like in tears. And I was just like, why would you say that? That's so mean. Why are you making fun of me right now? And I'm like, I want to go home, because I would be like, I never smiled. I just stopped smiling and I didn't know what it's like. And when you do your teeth through insurance, it's not the same as the current veneers that I have. Mm-hmm. It's completely different. And when all those veneers, bondings and capsules, they don't actually hide my real teeth as much, where the yellow from my real teeth kind of shines forward. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter how white you put over it. It still doesn't look super white. And also there would be constant lines on it. My teeth would constantly break. And then when I became daddy issues and I went through my own depression for other things, as 2 years into it, I was anonymous. And then when I decided to quote unquote come out, I was saving up money and I said, I'm going to get myself those rich people, A-list celebrity veneers, because I'm okay with people, you know, coming to me about anything, breaking me. But like, I can't handle, like, I've already spent 24 years of insecurities about who I am and like not feeling beautiful and all that. So I was like, I will have to get my teeth done. Like, that is not something I can handle, like anyone making fun of me. And veneers are higher, more expensive now. But back then it was $1,800 a tooth.
Holy
shit. It costs more now.
Did you do every tooth?
Yeah, my doctor luckily gave me a discount, but I paid $25,000 instead of $50,000 to redo my whole mouth.
But you know what? I'm so fucking proud of you for like working your ass off. And then like, it's like kind of a form of self-care to be like, I love myself and I want to put myself in the best possible position. And like, you're so fucking strong. And also, I mean, that's why you're hot with a good personality. Most hot girls like you,
I know,
don't have the quick. No, most people Thank with God. Tits like you do not have the kind of comedic timing you have. I also want to know, in LA, I feel like people have like the time to like work on their self healing. I don't know why in LA it's like, I feel like really prioritized. Where New York, you're like work, work, work. What are some current things that you're doing in terms of self like care and self love right now? Like, are you seeing a shaman? Are you like, do you have a mantra? Like, what are you up to?
You know, I try to do those mantras of sometimes I just do things where it's okay. It's so silly, but I've learned because one day I was having a little breakdown, little cute little breakdown, yep, just feeling like I'm not doing enough. And then it was the little things is to open up to one of my friends, because I remember I was just like, I'm just like, call my friend, I'm like bawling, I'm like, everything's not going right, blah blah. And she's just like, stop, she's just not saying anything. She looks at me, she goes, oh my God, you look so ugly when you cry, stop. Oh, I have to take a picture. And I just start laughing and I'm like, wait, hold on, let me pose. And it's like it's actually on my podcast Instagram, and I talked about it was like, it's literally me going like and it looks so bad. And she takes a screenshot and then we just start laughing and like just talking to a friend. And then afterwards going on your stupid little walks for your stupid little mental health. Or, you know, I do these things now that Saturdays I call it my Shabbat, which is also a Jewish thing, mm-hmm, where I try not to be on my phone, or I try not to work, or when I'm spending time with people, I'm literally not on my phone at all, because mm-hmm, I want to focus on the moment. Or I do these things where I get silly with myself, just like sitting in front of the mirror, do dances where I look silly. And it's little like moments where I fall in love with myself again. Aww. And I don't know, it's so sweet. But it's just like, it's just remembering to just be playful and childish, because that I feel like that's the one thing no one can take away from you. Yeah. And even if the past, if they have, it's because I've allowed them to. Yeah. And it's kind of, as you get older, you're like, this is all I have, like this body, my mind is all I have.
Yeah.
Like my home for the rest of my life.
Also, I noticed you have like post-its everywhere, and downstairs you have like a whiteboard with goals. Can you tell me a little about like how that affects your work?
It helps me stay organized because I'm so ADHD and I'm a creative person.
And it's probably like, I'm a visual person. Like, I like to see the list.
Well, sometimes I have the list in my brain normally, but then it overwhelms me. And then when I write it down, it's something about then it's my competitive side comes in. I don't know how to explain it, but then it's like the minute I wrote it down, then I'm like, oh, if I do this, I can just mark a thing off. Ugh, and then I feel like I did something.
Literally crossing something off on a list is sometimes better than sex.
Well, that you're saying that because you are having sex. People that are not, I wouldn't. But so kind of those moments help me, like, okay, I have my shit together. Like, literally, you came to my house, you see all these post-its. My house is a mess right now with all my clothes, and I look at the post-its, I'm like, yes, my life is together. Yes.
I will literally write something on a list that's like the littlest thing, like put, like take the garbage out.
That's still
just
something.
To mark it off the list.
Sometimes I write it as I'm already doing the task. Yeah, I'll write it just to do it, just so then I can be like, yep, mark it off.
How do you organize? I didn't see it, but I want to know, how do you organize your like goals board? Like, what kind of stuff is on it? Is it like yearly, monthly?
Well, it's just when it comes to me, I think sometimes people, and I can relate, I'm very hard on I'm a perfectionist. Mm-hmm. And the worst thing about being a perfectionist is that you have to accept the fact that you're not perfect. Mm-hmm. So perfectionist, you're constantly seeking perfection, but you never find it. Mm-hmm. So it's just a constant frustration and pain in your head. And you're like, why am I doing this to myself? So I too have those moments where I'm not feeling creative. I'm not feeling inspired. I don't feel like working. But now I understand that's okay, because that's how I'm able to then compare to the moments where I do feel like working. I do feel inspired. Those ideas do come to me. So when it comes to the whiteboard, I write my goals when I'm in those moments where it's those highs. I think it is ADHD. When you're suddenly those highs and you're like, oh my God, I can do this. I can do this thing. And it's like, it's so exciting. And I just start writing it down.
Yep.
And then sometimes I forget about it. Sometimes I achieve it. I don't know.
Yeah. ADHD is literally like you scrolling your phone in a stress spiral versus then you think of one idea you love and you're so passionate about it and you're so focused for like 48 hours on it.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
And then you get bored. That's so me.
What is my ex's sister's manager up to right now?
Like, the fact that I'm able to not only continue my podcast where I was posting once a week, and now I'm even able to sum up so far post 3 times a week, and then I have my Spotify show every Thursday night. That's 4 contents that I've, and then I still post every day on all my other social media platforms. The fact that I'm able to continue doing that is the most consistent job that I've had the last couple of years.
And I think it's because you're challenging yourself.
No, it's because my contracts.
You're like, guess, bitch needs to get paid.
The contracts are so, like, you guys don't know what contracts are when it comes to different types of artists. Like, when you see all these people, singers, complaining on TikTok about what their bosses, agents, or contracts make them do, like, yeah, some of it can be fake, but like, you guys don't understand. That's what you have to continue enjoying doing what you do, or you will just be miserable because you're in a contract. But the contracts kind of force me. Like, my last podcast contract basically said that I had to produce an episode every week for the whole year, so I couldn't actually do like other people do, like a break. Mm-hmm. And if I miss an episode, I owed my contract network, podcast network, the money for the ads that they would have got paid that week.
God.
So then I would owe them thousands of dollars for that week.
Do you have a day off?
Well, I try to have the day off now on Saturdays.
Yeah.
Kind of.
And do you have like a consistent weekly schedule, or is everything different every week?
I wish. I think I aspire to be that organized person. I'm not. I don't know how.
I also wish that I was like, okay, I have boundaries. I only record Monday, Tuesdays. But like, then someone DMs me who like I really like, who's like, are you free Thursday? And I'm like, yeah. And the next thing you know, something gets booked on Tuesday and I'm like, let's do this Wednesday. And next thing you know, I have no days off because I'm like, I get excited for stuff.
I think that's important, because when you have your days off, then you can appreciate when you are working. I think it's balance. I hate saying that as an adult, because when adults used to tell me that, I'm like,
you're like, life is short. I gotta go.
When I'm 30, I'm gonna have like 3 businesses, 7 husbands.
You can't be creative
26 kids.
When you're exhausted.
Yeah, and
our job requires creativity, and creativity also comes from living,
resting, getting sleep. Because when I am okay, here's an example that happened to me a while back, is that I was overly working, trying to do everything on my own and create all this content and get back to everyone. And then I was driving and I was going into a parking lot. And this is the weirdest thing, but as I was, you know, in the parking lot where you have to grab a ticket for, what is that thing called that goes up?
Oh, yeah. The thingamajigger.
The thingamajigger. So I did not grab my ticket. So my foot's on the brake and I go to grab my ticket. I didn't grab my ticket. So instead of reaching, I didn't grab it. And my foot goes off the brake and it goes to the side of, like, in that area. Just to put it on the side. So it's not on the gas either.
Yeah.
And then my car starts to go forward.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened because I was so tired from lack of sleep.
Yeah.
I stare and I go blank and I'm frozen. And my brain goes, put your foot on the brake. Put your foot on the brake before it hits the thing that goes up and down the parking lot. And I'm not moving. And then I just watch my car slowly go through the thingy, break it, scratch my whole car, bash my window shield, and then scratch, and then completely take off the light on the side of my car. And I'm complete shock. And then I drive forward. Then I finally put my foot on the gas to drive forward to park my car. And then I get out of the car and I'm still like in shock. I look at the car. I look at the thing that I broke. I see people running to the thing that I broke. And they're like, oh my God, someone just broke the blah, blah. And my
brain like, oh, that's crazy. Who did that?
No, but I had no reaction, which is an issue that I have in general where I don't have reactions at the time the things happen. I have to process them for some reason. Mm-hmm. Probably some childhood trauma, blah, 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 whatever. Mm-hmm. But I just looked at it and then I just went upstairs to the dentist because I just broke my veneer. So I needed to get it fixed. So then and the dentist, I'm just sitting there in silence because I'm trying to process what just happened. Because
you were like almost overstimulated. Like you couldn't handle all the shit going on.
I dissociated or whatever that thing is called. Yeah. And the thing is, I'm such a logical person. So my brain is trying to figure out why this happened or what just happened. And I couldn't explain it. So I couldn't even know how to, I couldn't process it. And I couldn't have a reaction over it because it didn't make sense. And then I remember I drove home and I'm still in shock. I park my car, go to sleep. And then in the morning I wake up and my neighbor texts me and she goes, hey, my dad wanted me to check in with you to see if you're okay. You left your garage door open the whole night. And we have like some workers right now working on the house across the street. And so like, not only that, I left my house open for the whole night. Yeah. And my garage, there's things inside my garage.
Yeah.
I just left it open. And I was like, what just happened?
And that's called like burnout.
Yeah. So that's why, and that's what my mom always tells me, if you don't take care of yourself, you won't be able to produce all these things. Like your health comes first.
Yeah.
You can't be creative. You can't be outgoing if you're not, you can't be there to fill everyone else's cup and give them advice like you're not filling up yourself up.
But it's hard because you feel like, oh, I'm better when I'm succeeding at things. But to succeed at things, you have to be healthy. And that takes you listening to your gut and like listening to your like, the kid who needs a break.
Yeah, I mean that was a little. And when I told my sister, she's like, "V, you're scaring me. What is
that?" Well, because as entrepreneurs, no one's there to tell us like, "Okay, go home now."
Yeah, that's so, so
it's
true.
Up to you to tell yourself when to stop.
I fixed my car though, so it's fine.
Okay, good. I was worried about it. you're like, we're good now. We're rolling. Final question: what are we manifesting right now? What are we working on?
Damn, actually, I don't have anything I'm manifesting.
No, but that could be good too, that you're like, oh, I'm in the moment. And
well, because I don't want to say I'm manifesting or what I'm looking forward to. Let's say if the one thing I don't have right now is love, because I don't think I'm going to be, I'm honest with myself, because right now I'm not really in that mode that I'm looking for love. And I feel like that's the thing I'm supposed to say. And that's why I say sometimes, but then I end up finding maybe the wrong people.
It is funny though. I feel like when you have your career going well, you're like, I need love. And then when you have love, you're like, oh, well, I need my career. I feel like there's always something that you'll find.
Exactly.
That you're working on. Like I have love right now and I'm like, okay, well, like I need more in my career. When I feel like, I don't know. That's just a perspective thing. Like it's, I think gratitude is the answer to everything.
Well, now I feel terrible about myself that I don't have anything looking forward to. I'm like, fuck.
No. I
have goals.
No,
oh my God.
No, it sounds like you're also like, you have like 400 shows going on and you've given yourself the most beautiful like home and job and pet. Like you've surrounded yourself with so many great things.
I think I'm just like, I guess I'm just really happy with the person I'm becoming. And I feel like I told you when we were talking in my podcast, that the other day when I was hanging out with my parents and we were just playing dominoes or whatever we were playing, mm-hmm. and I was giggling, I was laughing, and they were saying how it reminds them of who I used to be when I was a child, because then afterwards I started to become so closed off and angry all the time, and now I'm back to the childlike self, mm-hmm. and like that's nice. Like I'm like going back to that pure person that I've always that I was as a child. I love that about myself.
And that child wasn't sitting there like, what should I manifest, or like, what am I missing in my life? That child was just like waking up and enjoying the moment, which is like so fucking beautiful.
I think it's more so. Yeah, I guess technically I'm not manifesting anything for the future, because because sometimes I think we want this, because that's what society is telling us, or that just then I would be more successful, more this. To be honest, I'm honest with myself, I'm just trying to get through the day. That's mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. I have so many shows, mm-hmm. so I'm trying not to get burnt out before I go on my vacation. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm just manifesting to just continue being the person that I am and to continue growing, because I really like who I am right now, and I really like the people I'm surrounding myself with. And I just really like keep learning more and more about life. I'm such a curious person, mm-hmm. that I love just learning new things every single day.
She loves a research moment. Yeah. Well, thank you for opening up about your shit and educating us and telling us about the details of your vagina. Where can people follow you, listen to you? Give me all the tea.
Okay, so you can find me on at Viola Benson. You can check out my meme account at daddyissues_. And of course, my podcast, Almost Adulting. It's on every Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday.
Check out my episode I just did. This is a pod swap.
She was just on my podcast. She's on a Thursday episode. That's mm-hmm. when I have my guests and fun things like that. Every single... the episodes are different for those specific days. Mm-hmm. So it's like for everyone. And then except that, I also have my Spotify show called Hey Besties. It's every Thursday night where you guys get to join me and talk to me at 7 p.m. Pacific time and at 10 p.m. Eastern time. And then in between that, I take naps.
Hell yeah. Thank you guys for coming to hell, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.